live from the ATL, streaming around the world.
Another classic, Aaron.
You're now in the booth with your host, Big Ben.
Okay.
Welcome to Strobe Dots.
Hey, what's going on, everybody? Welcome back to another edition of Strobe Dots, the DJ podcast. I'm your man, Tick Best, and we are back in the building with some friends to the show who've been here before, back in season one. It is the Flight Crew DJs. I got my man, Jay Will, DJ Aichi, Daddy J, Mr. Energy, DJ Nate Acosta, Chris Vargas, a.k.a. Pantera Cali, and my man, DJ Flo's back in the building with us. So welcome, fellas. Thanks for being here and rocking out with us a little bit today.
Thank you.
Hey, what's going on, Tick?
This is definitely going to be like a background story or kind of a behind the scenes, I should say, of, you know, what makes the Flight Crew the Flight Crew versus a lot of other DJs and DJ crews that we may see, especially in this time where the pandemic started. We saw DJs getting a lot more love than what they used to in the past, and especially online. And I can't lie to you, almost every weekend, there is always a DJ crew that's jumping out there on Zoom. They got parties going on. And, you know, it's a good time. But there is a little something that's different when I come to a Flight Crew event as opposed to just going to another DJ event. So before I even start to boast and brag about you guys, because, you know, I'm a big fan, I want to just kind of kick it around to everybody in here. We'll ask a few questions and give the audience definitely some background information on what makes you guys, you know, so special. So first off, I'm going to start with the captain, Mr. J. Will. What is it that makes the Flight Crew so different from all the other DJ crews we may see out there?
Man, I think not only is it the level of talent that the Flight Crew has, because we're not just your press play DJs. I mean, we take time to prepare what we do, but we cover so much. You know, we got different genres, different backgrounds, different ethnicities, different cultures that we encapsulate with what we do as the Flight Crew. So I think that's the biggest thing that makes us so different. And then when you put that along with the skill level and the practice and the hard work and dedication and the prep that we put into it, I think that's one big thing that really sets us apart once you actually see what happens at a Flight Crew event.
Anybody else want to tackle that question? What is it that makes you guys so different from other crews? What about my man Flo's?
I think, you know, you get people from different places is a big deal. And it's because music is different in different areas. You got different cultures of people grew up with a different vibe, a different spin on things. You have different people migrating to different areas. So we're all over the United States. We're all at different parts of the United States, and we all come from different walks of life. We're able to bring a little bit of flavor from our perspective, and it isn't just playing music, but music from what we know and what we understand and what we love and what our audience loves. My audience is not Chris Vargas's audience, is not Nathan Acosta's audience, isn't Jay Will's audience. Like we all have different audiences, so we all have a particular subset, and then we learn from each other, right? So that's the thing, is that we get together before every event and we talk through what that event should feel like, and then we talk through what songs we might have in mind. And then we collaborate with one another. And so because we have that, it isn't just, hey, let's do a Zoom event. All right, this is the date. Let's all jump on. Mic tets, let's go. It's actual meeting beforehand several times for several hours. And then, of course, chatting with each other as far as what our thought process are when putting things together. That makes a huge difference. And actually, you know, I've been a part of many other Zoom events. That's how I can speak with this level of authority kind of a deal, because I've seen it from other groups, right? I've been the part of like 7 different Zoom events,
right?
But
right.
Nobody puts it together the way that the Flight Crew does. And I'm not just speaking that because I'm a part of it, but from experience. And then eventually this ended up being my sole and only Zoom event that I DJ for.
Dope. My man, Danny J.
I thought Flo was going to say this, but it's the flow.
The flow zone.
The flow of this crew is what I think makes it a big difference as well. For the fact that you see how, you know, yeah, I've been to a few of other, you know, Zoom events. And again, there's going to be an event for everyone. But you can just kind of, you know, we're pretty proud of the professional way we create each flight event. And it just flows so perfectly because of the preparation and the time and the effort. The sacrifices that we do to make that event special. So I think that's another big thing of why, what makes us very different from everyone else.
Nate Acosta.
Yeah, man. I think not only the soundtrack, but also we put a lot of time in like what we want it to look like. You know what I'm saying? Like when people show up to our events, like we want them to, even though they're not there in person, we want them to feel like they're taken back to like a 2000s house party or right. An actual flight, or like with this one coming up, we're doing like a family barbecue. So we're going to start working on visuals for that and just making it like not only creating the soundtrack, but creating the actual experience of like to the best of our abilities through virtual, right? We're kind of limited there, but I think, you know, we do, there's a lot of little things that we try to incorporate that like, okay, they thought of that, you know what I'm saying? Like, so I think things like that also kind of separate what we're doing as opposed to some of the other events.
No doubt. Chris Vargas.
Yeah, man, I think one of the biggest differences with our Zoom events is the end result itself and the audience that we bring to the actual Zoom event. I feel like our audience that we all bring together is an audience that appreciates and understands the art and what we do rather than, you know, just playing music.
Right.
That's one of the biggest differences that I've noticed, that our crowds are, man, the people that we have and our guests, they're amazing. They appreciate what we're doing. They love vibing to what we do because they understand that what we do is for the art and it's for the culture.
Definitely. All right. So I want to get into this next question, and it's going to tag right along with what we are talking about right now. So with all these Zoom events that I've been to and a lot of people go to, I get a code, I jump into the Zoom event, I party with the Zoom event, and that's the end of it. Flight crew, you guys actually charge for your Zoom events. So why does the flight crew charge for events when so many others are out there just doing it for free? And I'm going to start with my man, DJ Aichi. Aichi, why don't you hit me with that one?
Well, it goes along with that first question. We're totally different than what everybody else is. There's a lot of work that goes into everything that we do on the back end. So it's just like, you know, with anything else, you go to a restaurant, you know, the chef takes time to prepare this meal. He uses different ingredients, but he can use the same ingredients that somebody else uses and their meal can come out totally different. Mm-hmm. So he had to learn that skill set in order to make a gourmet meal. So each one of us has a skill set that lends to a complete product that's raising the bar constantly. So would you go to a 5-star restaurant and expect to get a 99-cent hamburger?
Nah, not at all.
So if you already know what we're bringing to the table and how much work goes into what's happening, and if you care about quality and appreciate the effort that's being put forth, why not donate? I mean, it just makes sense. And we're there for the people. A lot of these other individuals care about numbers. They're worried about how many people they can get on the event. Mm-hmm. That's so that they can feed themselves mentally. Oh, I had 1,000 people on there, but what type of performance did you give those people? How many of those people are going to come back because they appreciated what you were doing versus it was a free event? I want you to appreciate what I'm doing. That's why I want you back, not because I gave it to you for free. So that's why we charge. And it's not really a charge per se. It's a donation, and we give a person's option, you know, of at least this amount. But I gotta say, we got some real fans. We got some real people that support us. That basic level donation, they're like, no. I was here last time. Now you guys deserve this, you know. And we appreciate that. But I mean, that's just the way things go. I mean, this is something that's close to our hearts. This is something we love to do, and we're always gonna bring our and put our best foot forward. So We gotta make sure that the people understand, you know, that that's why, you know, it's not Everything goes back into doing the next event.
You know? Absolutely.
We all have jobs.
Right.
We all have businesses, you know, so everything goes into allowing people to have a better experience the next time. And notice I said experience, because mm-hmm. that's what we provide.
I have to agree with that. I've been to Flight Crew events. It is 100% an experience. So for everybody who's listening, who has never been to an event, you have to come to one. Before you judge, oh, wait, there's a donation, I don't want to. You got to come to an event and see. You get more than your money's worth when you come to a Flight Crew event. So I have to just throw that out there. Jay Will, you wanted to say something.
Yeah, and to piggyback off of that, I mean, Aichi makes great points about the final outcome. But also what a lot of people forget to realize is what actually takes place behind the scenes of what we have to do to put on these experiences and these events, because especially when this stuff first started, when nobody knew what the heck was going on with the COVID virus and early 2020, people just started getting online and trying to just provide some relief. Well, what people didn't realize is, okay, we have to start paying for platforms. We have to make sure our camera equipment is right. You can't just get on and show a nice blurry screen and think that that's going to suffice. No. Lighting, music, you know, just other things that we already as DJs pay for and take care of on the back end. Now we have to add these extra things because we don't want to just press play. We want to provide that experience. So a lot of people don't think of what goes on the back end when you have to pay for those things. And like Aichi said, we're not making a killing off of this. We're not feeding our families off of this. Basically what happens is we take those donations and put it back into the Flight Crew that allows us to put on the next event, get the merchandise, get the marketing. And really, I mean, that's all part of building the experience. So again, yes, it's a donation. Could we charge? Could we say, hey, it's a flat $10, a flat $15, $20? There are people now that are doing that. So we're still leaving it open as a donation, a based event. But there's people, yeah, like I said, now, I mean, there's some events that Flows has been to. You're paying $50 for a Zoom event to get in and to watch and to have an experience. So we just hope that, you know, people understand that it's more than just getting in front of a camera or getting in front of your laptop and pressing play on some music.
One of the things that I really appreciate about the experience that you get at a Flight Crew event, number one, and you guys correct me if I'm wrong, because I'm going to name where everybody's from and I'm doing this off the top of my head. So Flows, originally Miami and now Carolina, right? And then Chris Vargas, California. Nate is Texas, Dallas, Fort Worth, and Danny's in Atlanta, but New Jersey originally, and Aichi, Louisiana. I'm right, and then I know Jay Will's Michigan guy. So you're getting so many different backgrounds and music experiences where everybody is from, where they grew up, and where they're at right now, and they're taking all those influences and bringing it into the show. And then the wild part about it is I know Nate does a lot of the visuals, and the visuals out of there literally make you feel like you are in whatever the event title is. You feel like you're there. And it definitely gives you that vibe where, you know, if the Zoom party is like this, I can't wait for COVID to be over, because I'm coming to everybody's party. It's going to be really, really crazy. And you guys should make sure you do the same. So let's get into some more aspects of, you know, the whole Zoom situation. When it comes to planning your events, like how much preparation goes into planning those events? And I'm gonna start with Chris Vargas on this one.
Yeah, we prepare for months. As soon as the first Flight Crew event was over, we started planning the second one. It takes, what is it, maybe at least 2 months of preparation.
Okay.
We like to take our time with it, just so we make sure that what our audience is receiving is of quality. We make sure we don't rush anything. We make sure everything is on point and goes as planned. I mean, we have a group of six creative minds, and we all get to work. We all put in our two cents. We all give our opinion. We all vote on our decisions, so you know you're getting something that's solid. you know you're going to receive an event that not only is good quality, but it's going to entertain, and you'll get more than your money's worth, for sure.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Danny J, I want to ask you this, man. How do you prepare for your sets? Because you give such a dope set. You give us the Spanish vibes. You give us the hip hop vibe. You give us a little bit of everything. Everything with energy, Danny J is going to bring it. So how do you prepare for your sets?
In reality, you know, we all get together to make sure that we are all on the same, the same vibe. Mm-hmm. It stays consistent throughout the whole flight. And it depends on each, it depends on the flight event we're having, right? You know, like last one was our kickback give back. And so, you know, we kind of left it on the 2000s and the, you know, 90s. So, you know, we try to stick to that, right? So it takes time to really prepare. You know, I think there's been so many times where I could say, like, all of us have like prepared a set, and then we're like, all right, we're ready. And then, like, you know, a week before or, you know, days before, like, no, wait, let me change that. I don't like this, you know, and we keep on changing until we find it, like, you know what, this is going to flow perfectly, you know? So, in addition to that, we're always thinking about our passengers on our flight. You know, if we kind of know who's coming, you know, who already, you know, put in the donation to get their ticket. So we're thinking about them, you know, is this song is going to go flow? Is this other song is going to be the right one? No, let me change it up. Let me put it something else. We find like a different remix to it that's going to, you know, even pick up the energy even more, you know? So it's a long process, but at the end of it, the reason why we post our mixes up after the flight crew is because after all that preparation, we're like, man, it came out great. So it takes time. It just takes time.
Definitely, definitely. Nate Acosta, same question for you, man. How do you prepare for your sets?
I wait till everybody else turns in their set, and then I just play whatever no one else is playing.
He really does, no lie. Like,
that's the exact way I prep for my sets.
Nate's like, I'll take whatever's left over.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, that's honestly, bro, that's kind of how I've always been that way. Like, even when I have events, it's hard for me to, like, I'm very ADHD, bro, so it's really hard for me to sit down and be like, okay, I have 45 minutes, how many songs can I fit to 45 minutes, right? So I'll just see what these guys turn in, and I'm like, okay, well, Danny didn't pick this, so I'm gonna grab that song. I know Chris ain't playing this, so I'm gonna play that. And then a lot of the preparation too is just like visuals, right? Like, what type of vibe are we trying to create? And then from there, you know, feeling like, okay, I think we can incorporate this somehow, or incorporate that, or, you know, scanning the internet for clips of stuff that's going to fit and make it look real and not like cheesy. Cause we could, like everyone said, we could give everyone free events. That's not a problem. I'm sure all of us could easily do that. Right. But why would we take the time to really curate a free event when we could turn that around in a week for you? But when we take the time to really create an experience that takes months of creating and planning and getting okay from all the different guys and making sure that everyone's on the same page, that's more of what we're trying to accomplish as a group.
Jay Will.
And along with that too, like we've been talking about the set specifically, as already been mentioned, we all have a different vibe and culture and area that we're in. So we definitely try to curate our sets to match that, so that we know, because we know whose audience is coming. You know, I got people from Michigan that come in, Chris has got people from Cali that are hardcore that come in, and all the rest of the guys as well. But what you'll also notice is anytime you come to our event, you're never going to hear the same song ever. Yeah. Some of these other events, especially when you get that long, I mean, you're in like 4 or 5 hours, how many times do you hear the same song on the radio in that same period? You're never going to have that happen at one of our events, and that's part of the preparation, because we make sure that we go through and not only curate the vibe, but make sure that we're all paying attention to what each other are playing as well.
I can attest to that. And this is no shade to any of the other DJs that are out there doing their thing, because, you know,
it's not a lot
to get out there. You know what I'm saying? It takes a lot to get out there, do your thing, and,
absolutely,
and to entertain us for nothing. You know, right. You're out there doing anything. And so it's cool with that. However, I will say that I've come to a few events, more than a few events, and when you start to hear the same set repeatedly and week after week, it it allows the person who's coming for nothing to click the leave meeting button very quickly, because now you're no longer interested. It's like, oh, I just heard this. There's nothing new to it. And I think that's what happens, especially like Nate was saying, like you could turn this around in a week if you charge it nothing and just throw it out there. And if you just did the same set 2 weeks ago, sure, you can come back in here and do the set again. No big deal. And I think that's happening with a lot of the events that are out there. They're just there for the, you know, the entertainment purpose, but not really the experience of being, you know, in that particular event. So I can definitely attest to that. Jay Will?
And that's another thing. So many of these events do happen weekly, sometimes multiple times in a weekend from same, you know, different crews and groups of DJs. And again, no shade to that. We get asked all the time, why do we space ours out so far? There's a phrase now, ever since the whole online streaming thing, let it breathe. We like to let our events breathe. You know, not only does it take so long to curate the experience, but we want people to really reflect on what they just experienced when they're going to all these other online events. And by the time our next event gets posted, they're already ready. They're like, man, mm-hmm. we're ready to see what's coming up next. So that's one of the reasons, too, that we don't do it weekly, because we don't want to just keep putting out the same exact thing every week.
Absolutely. Flows, did you also want to chime in on that?
Yeah, I was going to talk a little bit about, the preparation pieces to it, you know, and mm-hmm. and everybody touched on the different things that we prep. You know, we talked about set lists, but, you know, not only do we have to think about the theme that we're coming with, but when picking our songs, but we have to make sure songs go together well. Like, you can't just pick a song just because it fits the 90s theme.
Right.
And I'm going to pick these five songs because they're in the 90s and I like these five songs. Not. Do they work well together? Mm-hmm. Can you transition from one song to the other well? What's the beats per minute on that song? Do I have to pick it up? Do I have to turn it down? What's the energy like? What is the energy now compared to what the energy was just a moment ago? Am I playing after Mr. Energy? Well, I can't slow it down. I got to pick it up, right? What's going on here, right? So, am I going up? Am I going down? Am I going left? Am I going right? And then you have to think about what vibe you're trying to present. And that's why it takes so much time to prepare. Nate is really great at throwing it together and making it sound beautiful. And, you know, somebody like me, you know, it takes me a little bit, you know, so I'm messing with songs. I'm putting together a set list and we got to drop it. And then, all right, I need to change the order because I don't like that vibe. Well, you know what? Nate wasn't playing any Latin towards the end of his set. So maybe I need to go in that direction so I can keep our Latin participants engaged. So a lot of that. And then it's like, all right, if I'm going to transition, I'm not going to just blend and transition. Let me see if I can cut into this song and make it funky, you know? Stab, 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 the drop. Oh, that sounded dope.
Right,
transform,
right, right.
Joe Cooley, transform, drop, 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 drops, stab, 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 drop. And everybody's like, oh, what just happened, right?
Right, right.
And you paid to come to this event. I'm going to take the time to practice these transitions and these different things to make everyone feel like they're a part of something special. They're seeing something that they haven't seen before, or if they have, it's been a while, or they've only seen it on TV, and now they just seen it live, you know? And to me, it's that, again, it adds to that experience that, and the only way that that can happen is if we take the time to prepare. Hours and hours and hours I take away from my wife and from other things that I could be doing. And I'm in here preparing, you know, my wife comes in, she's like, what you up to? I'm preparing for the next flight. She knows the value, you know? Right. And so it goes right back to, why do we charge, right? It's, well, I'm getting a little something S. You know, I'll get you something on Amazon or something. You know, I got you. You know, she looks at me and says, well, I know you're getting a little something. I'm getting a little something. We'll see what happens. Right. And then I give her one of these. She gives me one of these two fingers. And then, you know, there's an understanding versus me just doing an event every weekend for free and trying to spend that amount of time to prepare. I won't do it. Who would do that, right?
Right.
You just say, I'm going to play from these crates. I played this last week. I might as well play it again this week, just right. like you said. But no, we want to give somebody, we want to give people something special to attend and to be a part of.
Chris Vargas, and I'm gonna go to my man Aichi, but let me get Chris's comment.
Right, and that's true, man. When you see your wife supporting what you're doing, you know it's real. When she understands what it is that you're preparing, that's when you know that not only she values the end product, but everyone else is gonna, I mean, their opinion counts. And it's usually their our go-to when we're trying to make decisions. Something I did want to comment though is that we do want to emphasize that it's no shade to any other DJs, because we're all open format DJs. So it's not like we're always preparing this much for every set that we go on virtually. You know, we go on Twitch sometimes. Some of these guys go on regularly every week, 2-3 times a week.
Oh yeah.
We're on IG lives. So we do improvise, we do jump on and we start freestyling all these different sets, but not for the flights. This is the flight crew. These are flight crew events, and it takes preparation. We take the time, we prepare, we make the lineup, and we know when we're going, who we're going after, and who we're going before. We make sure there's a balance, not only with our genres, but there's a balance, the flow of the music.
Mm-hmm.
We just have to make sure everything makes sense for these flights.
Right, right. Aichi?
And going along with what Flo said, we take those two letters, DJ, we take that very seriously. So most of us in here are DJs / artists. So when we're preparing for a set, you know, we're thinking about what we can give the people, what something that they've never heard before. You know, we do live remixing. You know, we'll drop something, drop an acapella onto a different instrumental. It may be 2 or 3 acapellas on the same instrumental, but we cut in and out of different ways.
Mm-hmm.
And that provides an experience, you know, and it's kind of linked to what we do live before COVID happened. You know, I can't tell you how many times people come up to the DJ booth, hey, that mix you play with such and such and such and such together, can I get a copy of that? No, that happened today. That happened just now when you heard it. That wasn't, you know, that wasn't pre-recorded. And they're like, wait, what? Like, yeah. Not only are we're DJs, we're artists as well. So there's no telling, you know, being open format, we might pull a Latin acapella and throw a hip hop track behind it. You know what I mean? So guess what? Now it's engaging in both crowds. You know, we throw a reggae beat on and put an R&B acapella over it.
Right.
That's engaging Flo's crowd. That's engaging Danny J's crowd. That's
right.
So we all think about each other's crowds. And so you'll be like, well, man, I actually played the Latin track. What in the world? He's not, I'm an open format DJ. I love all types of music. And I think that's with all of us. We all love all different types of music. So there's no telling what you're going to hear either one of us play. So enjoy the ride. Expect the unexpected. And then go tell your friends about it.
I chivo el sonidito. Hey.
That was fire.
Jay Will.
Yeah, I was about to say that. But no, real quick, you guys already touched on it. I know we're in the middle of the interview and it just popped in my head. I have to specifically from me thank all of your wives, because you guys have come on this journey that was my crazy idea. And your wives have been so supportive. My wife too. So Carrington, Pam, Jen, Jennifer, Jessica, Jackie and Esther, man, thank you guys for supporting us, because we know we couldn't do any of this without your guys' support. So I just wanted to chime in on that, and hopefully this makes the cut like a prime part of the interview, Tig.
I'm going to cut out just this little piece right here. We're going to use it as promo. So let me ask you guys something. I mean, this is a 6-man crew. Everybody brings something different to the table, but yet it's a cohesive table. It's everything really fits together and flows together. So I need to know the consensus in the room, and all you can put a hand up if this applies to you. You do not care whether or not people have their cameras on when they're in Zoom. Put a hand up if you don't care. So there's not one hand that has come up. So obviously everybody cares about you having your camera on when you come into Zoom. So let's figure out why. I'm going to start with my man, Nate Acosta. Nate, why do you care if people have their cameras on in a Zoom party?
I mean, it just imagine going into a room and like performing with like just chairs, right? Like, I mean, it would just, there's no, in, you can't feed off of that. Me personally, like, even when I do in-person events or virtual events, like I want to be able to see people like vibing along, or maybe they're making a face like, what in the heck is he playing? Like, you know, I want that visual feedback so I can know, okay, well, let me tweak this. Like, I won't ever play that one again if that one didn't go over well. Or, you know, if people are like really vibing, like I can call people out on Zoom. Like, that's one of my favorite things about Zoom is like calling people out when I see them on the screen or interacting with people. Because I think that's a big part of like the DJing thing too, is just not playing good music, but like interacting with everyone and making them feel like, hey, you look like I'm seen, they know I'm here, then they can see I'm having a good time. That's definitely a big plus, especially with these virtual events, man, because it's hard sometimes to gauge, you know, am I doing okay? Well, if I see everyone vibing, I know I'm doing okay. So that's probably one of the biggest things for me, at least.
Chris Vargas.
Yeah, definitely. It makes a difference. And you notice it the most when you walk into that room or when people start coming in with their cameras on. It fuels you. It motivates you. It generates this type of excitement. You get into your music a lot more. You perform all in all a lot better when you see all these cameras on. You get people dancing, you have people just vibing to it, you have people sitting down enjoying the music. Whatever they're doing, when we see the reaction on their faces, when we drop that song that they really like, or that song that they came into the flight event just to listen to, that reaction, that's what gives us that fuel to keep going. That's what hypes us up, which allows us to hype them up with what we're playing.
Definitely. Flows, you want to chime in on that one?
When we were doing in-person events, we were we chime off of the crowd. I think every one of us here plays music to the crowd. So we come in with an idea, but if the crowd isn't really feeling what's going on, then we know to switch genres, to switch energy. But how in a virtual event, the only way to be able to tell is if we see the cameras going and the spotlighter is moving from one to the other and we see what people are doing. If the spotlighter is hitting on people and people are kind of like sitting there like, you know, just not really moving, then it's one thing. Like, all right, cool, I need to pick it up. But if people are moving and going, you know, in addition to the fact that we feed off of their energy, it helps us understand if we're going in the right direction or if we're not. And that's why you'll hear a lot of DJs say, throw some ones in the chat. Because they want to see that people are there and that they're enjoying themselves and that they're going in the right direction, or if they're not. Cameras on helps to add to that vibe, but not just for us as DJs, but for everyone else who's there. Everyone else is there is feeding off of that same energy, and it can make or break an event. It really can. If cameras are on versus being off, you know, why join the event? You could just listen to the radio. You could just go to listen to the playlist online and just do your, you know. But if you're going to be a part of the event, take the few hours out. You don't have to be there for the whole time, but just take some time out, you know, throw on a tie, throw on a bow tie, or throw on a dress, your favorite earrings, throw that camera on, and you'll see how much fun you have and how much fun you will help everyone else have if the cameras are on.
That is an excellent point. I think we've all been to parties where nobody was really dancing, they just kind of playing the wall, they sitting around, DJ's doing his thing, and they doing the chair dance, they bopping their head at the chair, they doing the table dance, they just bopping their head at the table, they're not getting up and doing their thing and dancing. And sometimes that can make you feel like, man, this is a whack party. Meanwhile, the DJ was doing his job, but nobody else is doing their thing. So it's a cohesiveness. Everybody's got to play their part. You came to party, and when you're in these Zoom events, you know, all we're doing is looking at screens. And if we don't see anybody else vibing, everybody's got their cameras off, but the DJ is doing his thing, you know, that can make or break the party. So don't be lame. Turn your cameras on, and everybody will have a good time. Let's jump a little bit. I want to talk about how you guys come up with the ideas for these different events. You guys do a lot of different events. They all have a theme. We got one coming up next month, I believe, in May. You just got off of one with the Kickback Give Back. So how do you guys come up with these event themes? And I'll start with Aichi on this one.
Well, like Chris said earlier, we start thinking about the next event like 1 or 2 days after the one we just finished. And we'll throw an idea out, you know, hey, what do you think about this? What do you think about that? And everybody provides their input for it. And then, you know, somebody will say, well, hey, I like that idea. Oh, I like that idea too. And then we eventually come to a point where we all agree on one thing. And then there may be a few little tweaks here and there that we may want to add to it. But I mean, it's, we think about what the people love, mm-hmm. what the people missed, what the people have done previously, and how times have changed. And then we develop a concept from that.
Awesome. Awesome. And Jay Will?
And for everyone that is listening, that was on the very first flight, we just got on the plane. We didn't have a theme. We were just figuring out open format sets, all of us. We did that actually for the first two events. And then we started seeing that there was value in creating a theme because it added to the experience. And you're not just getting on and doing open format sets every weekend or every event. And so when we come up with the themes, not only are we trying to tailor it to our audience, but we're also watching to see what other people are doing, because you'll see a lot of events, not just on Zoom, but on Twitch, on all these other streaming platforms, that start getting repetitive. And so we like to really curate something that is not either been done or hasn't been done in a while, because let's face it, obviously it's music, it's events, things are going to get repeated all the time. Everybody loves the 90s. There's always going to be a 90s party. But what can you do to make that different? And so like, even with this one that's coming up, it's going to be our 1 year anniversary. And we're like, no better way than to spend that with family. So, hey, family reunion barbecue, you know? So it's just something that adds to that experience. And it not only ties in with the music and the vibe, but it brings your emotion into it. And once you get somebody's emotions, like, you have them. You got them locked in.
Absolutely. Let's go to Danny J on that one. Danny, what's your idea of how you guys come up with the events and keep things fresh?
Man, well, the biggest thing is we have 6 professionals here, and I feel like many of us in the marketing area, in the promotion area, and it helps a lot, you know, when we all try to put in our 2 cents and what, you know, this event, this next event can be. You know, in my case, for example, I've been in the promotion business for a while, especially in the past. So it was always about bringing in fresh ideas, and, you know, thinking outside the box. What is everybody doing? Scratch that. Let me see what else I can do. So I think it helps that when I throw at least one little idea I have, you can just tell how somebody else or anybody else that throws in one little idea, somebody else chimes in, oh, we could probably add this to it. And then it just starts to create little by little until bam,
right?
We have the whole picture now. We have the whole event, you know, and maybe let's add this extra to kind of, you know, make it even better. So I really definitely think is a team thing when it comes to all of us to bring it, put in our 2 cents on it.
That's really cool. That's really cool when you have a team effort and the ideas flow, and obviously the execution is always great. So that's a beautiful thing to see. Let's talk about, you know, the situation that obviously that we're in right now with the COVID situation. The world hasn't really opened up fully. You know, I know all of these DJs, and some of you have already been doing some in-person events. World's opening up just a little bit in certain areas, and you're able to do things maybe on a smaller scale. But, you know, what happens when the world opens back up? Where does the flight crew go from here? Since most people are getting to know you right now with the in a virtual environment, how does things look when the world opens up for you? And you know what? Let's start with Jay Will on this one.
So it's funny you asked that, because we had a long discussion about this, especially as a lot of different areas are opening up. And there's still a sense of caution among all of us, and not just our individual families, but our areas. So we do want to keep the online game going at least through the rest of the year. But ultimately, we do want to take this on the road. I mean, we've already talked about it. Potentially, depending how things go, you know, early 2022, all going down to Dallas, meet in the middle.
That's what I'm talking about.
You know, so first one to be out there in Dallas and be a nice central location for everybody to travel to, make a weekend out of it with your family. But you have no idea how many people ask us all the time, when are we doing this in person? Like, we have to do this in person. And it's not that we don't want to. I mean, hey, we could do it right now. Dallas, Texas, man, they don't care. We could go there right now and have a party, but we still have a level of safety in mind for everybody. Whether you believe in what's going on in the world or not, safety is of utmost importance. So ultimately, we do want to take this on the road and keep it going. I tell the guys all the time, we are joined together for life now. This is something that, if you caught the first episode that we did on Strobe Dots, some of these guys didn't even know each other. I was kind of the middle piece that knew everybody and brought us all together. But now we're like great friends. Our families get along, and we would like to just, you know, get together with our families, with our wives, and have a good time. So definitely, we're going to take this on the road.
Sounds dope. Sounds dope. Let's talk a little bit about haters. Because there's always going to be haters that are out there who, you know, they don't like the donation situation. They just don't like whatever, you know. Everybody always got something to not like. So how do you guys handle the haters? And I'm going to go through each and every single person in here. So I'm going to start from Flo's, and we're going to work our way back. So Flo's, tell me, how do you handle the haters?
I'm going to be honest. I love haters. I'm gonna be honest with you. I love it. It makes me so happy, because that's how you know that you've done something different. Like, you've disrupted the industry, right? In this industry of Zoom events.
Right.
When people are unhappy and they nitpick at different things that maybe they don't have a preference for, or they have a strong opinion for or against. So to me, that's how I know we're on the right path. If we didn't have people who were hating, then we are not on the right path. We are not growing. We're not disrupting the industry. We're like everyone else, because no one really cares, right? But when people hate, we know that we're doing something good. And that's in every business, in every industry. When you start doing really well, that's when the competition starts getting a little bit more vocal about what it is you do. Or don't do, and have a strong opinions about. And then, of course, they want to socialize as much as they can what that opinion is, to kind of detract from your event. And so be it. You know, I kind of enjoy it. I laugh. It makes I'm weird like that. I just love it. Like, I want more of it. I love it, and it just makes me happy. I find it very, very funny. So the more the merrier. If it starts to slow down, I'm gonna start figuring out, like, we're not doing something right. I need more and more. Yeah.
Good answer. IT got me rolling in here. let's go to Chris. Chris, how do you handle them, man?
Honestly, man, I don't know my haters. And if there are some that I do know, I don't know what they're up to. I don't see haters. I really don't, man. And I'm sure they're out there. I'm sure. Flo's has a great point. If people aren't hating on what you're doing, it means you're not making any moves. So we're constantly moving, constantly. Each and one of us with our own brand, as a collective, we're moving even stronger. We're moving up. We're flying. We're not comfortable with standing still and being stuck. We're constantly up to something. So I'm sure there's a lot of haters. I'm sure there's a lot of people that don't like what we do, not necessarily because they don't really like it, but because they just like the bug or whatever. But me personally, I don't have time for it. I don't have time to talk about it. I don't have time to notice it, to give it attention. So if it does come to my attention, I do notice it, but then I keep moving. We stay focused and we keep moving forward. And we have a lot of things that we're working on individually and in the flight crew. We have too many things that we have to focus on. I mean, let alone, you know, our priorities, our families. And when it comes down to our business, our business is what keeps us going too, you know, in that sense. So if you ask me who my haters are, I don't know what to tell you. I'm sure they're out there, but I'm sorry. I don't know you. But yeah, hey, we don't hate it either.
Right.
We welcome it. Keep doing what you're doing, and we're gonna keep doing what we're doing.
I love it. Daddy J, how do you handle the haters?
I just want to say I love you guys. It's from the heart, like, you know, it's mad love. No, I think, yeah, man, I think that's what it happens. When you make noise, people are gonna notice it, and the people who don't get it or want to be there are gonna hate, are gonna, you know, say stuff, are gonna try to, you know, kill your vibe. They're gonna try to mess with what you're doing. And it's like, yeah, like everyone's been saying, if the haters are there, that means we're doing something right, you know, we're making noise. And so it is what it is, because I think, just like Flo said, it's gonna happen every single industry, every single business you're in. You're gonna have people who are gonna be hating on what you're doing, especially if you're doing it right. So it's all right. I feel like you know, the more the merrier. The more they, you know, they hate and talk about us, you know, the more we get known with, you know, the more people are gonna know who we are. And so I think it's important for us just to definitely, when we hear this noise about, you know, people trying to hate and stuff like that, we try to brush it off. You know, it is what it is. Let's just continue doing our thing. And if they keep on adding up, even better. But in most cases, what I really think is they don't get it.
Yeah.
They don't get it. And so that's fine. You know, we know what we're doing on a professional level. So we just keep on doing what we're doing.
I like that attitude. They don't get it, but they don't have to get it, because y'all get it. You already know what's up. Nate, how you handle haters?
Yeah, man, I think like Danny J mentioned, I mean, it comes with the territory, I guess you kind of say, you know, like you can't force people to understand your vision. You just got to keep doing it until they have no choice but to under, you know, like, we just got to keep doing what we're doing. I don't think any of us lose any sleep over it at night. We're not like, you know, talking about like, oh guys, can y'all believe that this happened or that happened. It's just like one of those things that it's water under the bridge, right? We just keep working, keep doing what we're doing, keep putting on great events, and maybe one day we can have them join the event or something. Then they can see, you know, what we provide, right? It's not like we're here saying like, oh, we're better than anybody, or, you know, the way we do things is even the best way, because maybe there's other things that we're not doing yet. And we're always like, I think that's the great thing about this collective, is everybody's open-minded. Everybody's willing to learn. No one's here with big egos or trying to put anyone down, or I think that all of us offer each other advice, but it's like for the best, right? Because we want these events to go off without problems and things like that. So when we may see things that we run up to flight crew standards, it's not saying that it's not the right way to do it. We just choose not to do it that way. And you know, it is what it is.
Absolutely. Aichi, how do you handle them?
Well, I'm like Flo's, man. I kind of feed off of it. You know, I'm a quiet guy when it comes to certain things, and I just use that as energy. Like, you might not hear much from me. You might not see me on Twitch. You may not see me on IG Live so much, but best believe when you hear me, I'm coming with a point. I'm coming with, you know, hey, I'm feeding off of what I heard or what I saw.
Right.
And you're gonna be like, oh, wait a minute. He didn't do that before. You know, so all of us are trying to constantly improve new techniques, new genres of music, just different things that we use that as energy. That's fuel. that's fuel. So if you know, we see somebody imitating what we're doing, or somebody that says something negative about what we're doing, that's fine. My dad has this saying that he used to tell me when I was a kid, because I used to get upset about people saying things about me that were negative. He said, son, let me tell you something. He said, if they're talking about you, they're thinking about you. And that's all that matters.
Mm.
Whether it's good or bad, I'm on your mind. So a hater posts something online, you know, they may not even say the flight crew, but you know who they're talking about,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, yeah.
That's free advertising for us.
Yeah. Underhanded comments. Yeah.
Right. Right. So somebody's gonna be like, well, wonder what they were talking about. Let me go check it out. Now we got more followers on IG. Now we got people going to check out the Twitch train that flows and Jay right. Will and Danny J. You know what I'm saying? Right. So it's like, hey, y'all gave us those people, so thank you. We appreciate it. You know. But on the same coin, on the other side, if you're hating to the point where it's almost slanderous, don't think we're gonna sit back and take it. Mm-hmm. We're not gonna go blast you nowhere else. You know? We're gonna come right to you. Right. We're gonna be in your DM mm-hmm. or your email or text your phone and say, hey, I noticed you said XYZ, you know, what's going on? Is there some type of misunderstanding or, you know, let's hash this out.
Right, right.
Then you see what they're really about when that happens.
Yeah.
You know, we're not saying it happened. Yeah, I mean,
you know, if it gets to that level, you know,
totally, I mean, totally but, rhetorical situation here.
Yeah, yeah, it's not, you know, when you come to that point where it's almost slanderous,
right.
And you're like on this campaign to find something wrong or try to say that something was wrong, that's not right. We don't do that to anybody else.
Right.
You know, we get on other events, we support other DJs, whether they are part of the crew or not, we go support them because they're DJs. They're in the same profession we're in, and they're our brothers, right? So we go support them. So why should we get the opposite because you're not doing what we're doing? That it doesn't make sense. So Absolutely. The fuel, we run with it, but if it gets too much, then hey, can we have a conversation?
I hear that. I hear that. I love what your pop said, man. You need to take that and frame that, put that in the house somewhere. That's a bar right there your pops dropped on. Yes, that's a good one. It's a good gym.
That's one of the many that IT tells us about.
One of the many. You need a book. You need like a book of all the gems your pops dropped, man.
Hey, man, my pops is my hero, man. Yeah, I wouldn't be who I am today without him.
That's dope.
Somehow I feel like your pops is my pops.
And he's at every event. Every
I love
event.
That. Yeah, I've definitely seen your pops at the events. So, yeah, definitely. Jay Will, how do you handle the haters, man? Captain of the flight crew, tell me how you handle the haters.
Everybody's laughing because they know this is the part in the video where we're just gonna put that picture of Dave Chappelle. I plead the fifth. man, they know, like, all right, Danny was lying, man. We see you. We know what's going on. I've had a couple phone calls like Aichi was talking about. But that's what Danny said is exactly it. A lot of times they just don't understand what we're doing. This is a professional business. It's a professional brand. And they don't always see it that way. They don't get the concept behind that. And so I think that's where a lot of negative energy comes from. In the beginning of all this, there was a lot of doubt. A lot of people were like, there's no way you could do this. There was nothing you could do that. I feed off that personally, not only with the flight crew, but in just life. Like when somebody tells me I can't do something, not only am I still going to do it, I'm gonna do it even better than I thought of because I'm gonna work even harder at it. So I loved it. Even in the beginning of all this flight crew and how this all came about, I love that. But yes, no, we do see you. We do not acknowledge it because we're not gonna do that. We're gonna come straight face to face or phone call to phone call, and we're gonna handle it as professionals. Like that's just how it is. And yeah, just keep it coming because we love it. But no, seriously though, honestly, like, we're not out in this to have haters or to have any beef with anybody. Again, this is nothing personal. We focus on what we do. We're gonna do it the way we want to do it anyways. So like Aichi said, I mean, the more you talk about it, thank you for the free publicity, because that's less work I have to do. And a lot too, a lot of the people that were hearing things, they come to us and they're like, why are they even saying this? Because we don't have the same experience. We actually love what you do, and we actually stopped associating with these other people because of that. And so, I mean, you're really shooting yourself in the foot.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I have to say, like, I'm a big, I try to support like a lot of different DJs. The ones I know are good, I try to support them. And I've seen you guys, I've been in Zoom parties and seen you guys in parties. And I've also seen you guys do collaborations with other crews, like shout out Friday Night Face Off, seen you guys do things with them and be inside of other DJs' parties. So the support level is always there. Flight Crew is a crew I've never seen hate on anybody. They never have a reason to. They don't have a reason to do that. So,
and that's a good point too that you bring up, Tig. I see Chris too. We're gonna get you in this. We love to support other creatives. I mean, we're all creatives at the end of the day, and even if it's not something we're feeling, we're still gonna check it out. Say, hey, oh, this is sweet, and it never fails. We're like 3, 4, 5, maybe all of us hop in at one time. Everybody sees, oh, the Flight Crew's here. That's kind of cool. Like, hey, that means like, they know if we're supporting something, we're kind of putting our stamp on it, saying, okay, this is something really cool to be at. So it also brings value. I mean, not saying that we're the top of the food chain in any case, but when you start developing a good reputation like that, like you mentioned Friday Night Face Off, that has been so much fun. And it's also led to other sub events. Flows has been on there multiple times. Aichi's been on there. Absolutely. I've been on there. I know we want to get the rest of the guys on there as well, if the schedules line up. That's been a lot of fun, bringing in two different audiences together. And we'll just see what happens. We'll keep it going.
Definitely. Chris, you wanted to chime in on that?
Yeah. I was just going to say that in the beginning, when all this started way back in the beginning, all this started with this really long message that Jay Will sent. It was like 10, 20 minutes. I forgot. But, you know, it took us a minute to listen to his concept, to understand his vision. But what I want to say that I share this perspective with the other five guys here. What I got out of it was something positive, something productive, something that brings good energy to us, not only to us, to our families, but to everyone else out there that we would be catering to. So it's just funny, man. When we hear about, you know, maybe one or two people talking about, you know, that they don't like what we do or how we do it, it to me it's a little ironic, because that what we're doing is positive, and that always has been our intention. So that's why we don't mind it. That's why we don't acknowledge it, because it doesn't matter. We have an objective, we have a vision, we have a game plan, and at the end of the day, what we want is to spread positivity. So would it make sense to feed their negativity by acknowledging it? Or, you know, and sometimes Jay Will, he did mention, you know, phone call, not for confrontation purposes, but to clear the air.
Because exactly.
At the end of the yep. day, what we don't want is for people to not understand or to spread any message that is misunderstood, because that's not our objective. Our objective is all positive. It's all good. It's what we're doing is supposed to be good for everyone, not just for us, but for everyone else.
That's a really good point, man. Really good point. Good sentiments. I do have a question just kind of along the same lines of that. When Jay Will sent out that initial 30-minute message for you guys, what was everybody's feelings? What was your initial reaction when you guys read it?
And this is good. Yeah. I want honesty.
Here we go again with one of these.
We're going to put this one on the table. Danny J, go ahead, man.
I was like, here we go again with one of these chat rooms. J-Will, I don't know about Nate, but I think they know very well about what I'm talking about. But yeah, it was just like, at the beginning, I think we were all like, not too sure about it, you know?
Right.
But you know, I mean, I give it up to J-Will. He knew what to say and you know what he was trying to do. And I think, you know, we were after maybe a few days of us chatting between everyone. And I think the biggest thing was that you can really like see it off the back when you're in one of these chat rooms, which I definitely hate, but is that egos are like up sky high.
Absolutely.
You know? Absolutely. And it's like, you know, it's you know, I hate being in an atmosphere like that. You did not see that whatsoever with all these guys. So I think that that's what helped out a lot. Plus his vision, his concept of what we're trying to do, and him not only wanting to include us, but want us to all chip in our ideas to see how we can make this happen. So yeah, I mean, it took a couple of days.
Oh man. Hey Nate, I'm gonna go to Nate on this one. If you had any reservations when you first got that message, what was the tipping point to say, yeah, I actually want to jump in and do this?
Yeah, I think like Danny J mentioned, right? Like, I think one of the bigger things with DJs is egos. So instead of seeing like all these guys, you know, talk about, oh, I do this or I do that, or like, well, it wasn't ever about me. It was about us, right? So like, hey, how can we come together and make this happen, right? And seeing just like the skill level of all these guys, like I wouldn't have joined a thing with guys who couldn't beat match or guys who, you know, like I'm like, all right, bro, like this isn't gonna work, right? Like I want guys who don't just say they're DJs, but actually DJ, right? And that's right. What all of these guys do in their own unique way, right? Everyone was different. So just seeing the skill level that everybody brought, I already kind of like knew who every one of these guys was through social media. So just kind of seeing, you know, what they were doing and respecting each of them in their own way. So that was kind of like my thing is, okay, yeah, I can get down with this for sure.
Definitely.
I had to see if any of them were divas first, but they all passed the test.
So. Aichi, what was the tipping point for you to say, yeah, you know what? This is, I want to get down with this.
Well, I had met J-Will through another DJ, quote unquote, chat on WhatsApp.
quote unquote.
And I mean, he and I, you know, would have messages with each other, kind of, you know, to ourselves.
Right.
Just asking different questions about things. I mean, he and I clicked, man. I mean, to the point where I flew from Louisiana to Michigan to spend with him at an event. Wow. And I had never met him in person.
Wow, that's love.
Right. And man, from that day forward, man, I mean, we were like this.
So, I will never forget that crate digging moment. That's like a DJ moment. When you go crate digging with another DJ, that's love right there.
Yeah, man. And it was his first time going to that record shop, man. He was like, yeah, let's go. You know, yeah, we had a great time, man. And just from then on, you know, I rocked with him from that point forward. But when I got the message, I had to listen to it twice. Because I was like, I don't know who the other guys are. But if J-Will is willing to rock with them, there's some guys I need to know. There's some people I need to check out. So I, you know, hit social media, kind of like what Nate said, you know, checked each one of them out. And I was like, oh, man, that's what's up. I listened to the message a third time. And then I was like, because like I see the skill levels, and I'm like, are you sure that message was meant for me? Am I supposed to be in this? And once we got in the chat and everybody started talking, man, everybody was just cool from day one. Down to earth, man, no egos whatsoever. Everybody was genuinely concerned about getting to know each other. You know, we were listening to each other's mixes that were posted online. Just
dope.
A camaraderie off the bat. And I mean, I was sold from that day.
Nice. Flows.
I was game from the jump. So like I was one of those guys who listened to the message and like 10 seconds in. I don't know if you in that Justice League scene where Batman approaches the Flash and is like, I'm making a team. I'm in. That was me. I'm like, man, I'm in. I don't know what's gonna come out of this. I really don't care. I just like the fact that I have other people who are serious about the craft, who understand the business. And let's put it together and we'll go from there. So I just wanted to be a part, you know, cause this was pandemic. So like, we're all like stuck in the house and, you know, we don't know what was going to happen. So just to be able to be creative with other people who are like-minded people, you know, is something different. And like everyone said, DJs with the ego, that was super important to me. And I didn't get any of that vibe from anyone. I had already knew Aichi and Jay Will from a previous quote unquote DJ DJ chat. So I knew the two of them and I had respect for both of them based on what they were saying in that chat and how they moved and different songs and different things that they did virtually and online. So I'm like, all right, I'm down with them. And if Jay Will says Nate, Chris and Danny are the ones, and hey, let's do it. Let's meet up. Let's talk. Let's do the event. And I've been loving it ever since. I'm so happy that I'm a part of this because I grew exponentially as a DJ from just being a part of this crew. Like I would not be where I am. I wouldn't be doing the things I'm doing, my thought process with music or just creatively, if it wasn't for this crew a year ago. So I'm grateful.
That's dope. Really, really dope. I'm going to hit you guys with a final question here, and that is, what do you see as the long-term vision of the Flight Crew? We'll start with Chris.
Man, that's a great question. Being that the future is, you know, we don't know what's going to happen. We do have ideas. Our ideas are endless. But we definitely want this to keep going. This relationship we've developed is great. I'm sitting here with five of the nation's best DJs. Like, these guys are great on and off the decks. They have good hearts, good intentions, great attitudes. So I'm privileged to sit down on the same table with them. Flows brings up a good point. I feel like we all help each other grow. We push each other in the right ways. We motivate each other. We keep each other on our toes, and they definitely have kept me on my toes. These guys are growing. I see their growth. They were already great, and you see them grow by the day. There's days we have that chat that we talk daily. You're talking about a full year of everyday messaging.
Wow.
So you can only imagine the value in that group chat that we have going on. It's just gems. These guys are dropping gems, business, DJing related. I mean, we get personal sometimes. We show each other support. Our families haven't met each other personally, but we feel like we have, and we feel like we're just a big family. So I don't know what the future brings. That's up to the captain, whatever Jay Will decides and whatever he brings to the table. I think it's fair to say that we're all game to whatever, because we've learned to trust each other. We've learned to work with each other. So I don't know. But it's a fact that, you know, whatever these guys want to do, I'd be privileged and honored to keep going with it. But yeah, if things open back up fully, I would like to go hit the road, hit all five other states. And you know, do a six state tour, and nice. and bring the Flight on the ground and just hit it hard, man. What we can offer as a collective is, man, I don't even know what to describe, what word to use to describe it, but it'll be fire. So if you're listening to this and we go to your city, don't miss it. Don't miss it, because you won't want to miss it. You don't want to hear about it after.
Word. Take the day off from work, everybody. You're gonna need it. Flows, what do you see as the long-term vision, my friend?
Yeah, definitely long term. I see us performing live. There's no doubt about that. That's gonna happen. That's just it can't not happen. There's too much good chemistry, and there's too many people that want to see us live and just to do a live event. I mean, if they're having so much fun virtually, just imagine what it would be like in person, being able to collaborate. And there are also a lot of people who've met each other just through the flights.
Absolutely.
So these people want to know. They want to get to know each other. They want to talk. I mean, when travel opens up, people are going to want to go out and do different things. And we can bring all that together, right? We can centralize a flight event in a city. You can come see that city, visit the sites, do your thing, and then come to one of these events, meet everyone. It's going to be like this huge family reunion for the first time, like first annual. And then hopefully they'll keep wanting to do that. So virtual events, I also feel like will continue at some point. There's, we're you know, even if it's once a year or twice a year, I don't know, depends on what that looks like. We have no idea what the next thing will look like, but I'm almost positive virtual events is here to stay. The technology is already here. I mean, just turn on the lights, let's talk some planet, boom, let's throw a virtual event together and people can be at home, have a good time, and enjoy it. So we'll see what that looks like, but virtual events will continue and in-person events soon to come.
Definitely.
That's definitely gonna happen. I mean, in my personal opinion. Again, definitely. I defer to J. Will.
I have to piggyback on that, man. I've met so many people because of the flight crew events. And as soon as you guys' events are like, you know, it's concluded for the evening, all of a sudden I've got like a whole group chat in my DM of people like, yo, I can't wait until this like we all opens up and we can all go party together at a flight crew event. So people definitely have met each other online and they just can't wait to get out and actually be, you know, in person and partying with each other at one of your events. So you hit it right on the head with that one. Nate Acosta, what do you see as the long-term vision?
Yeah, bro. I mean, being able to, you know, visit different cities, I think would be super cool. I've been through Atlanta, but I've never like actually hung out in Atlanta. You know, never been to Louisiana, you know, so been through Louisiana, been through Michigan, but I've never like actually spent time in any of these cities. So being able to do that would be really cool, man. And just like, you know, whatever the future holds, I don't think any of us really know exactly what's going to happen just yet, but just to see it come to life is going to be cool, right? We've kind of started off of one message and just to kind of see how far it's already gone, but just that much more once the world fully opens up is going to be dope, man.
Dope. And come on through Atlanta, man. Me, my house and Danny, we got you covered, bro.
Hey,
just come on through.
Sounds great, bro. Let's do it.
Danny, what do you see as the long-term vision?
I see a spot with some straight-up energy.
Hey!
Packed with people. Six DJs in rotation. Oh, man. The visuals, the lighting, the production.
Crazy.
I mean, yeah, I can definitely see this happening in all of our six cities. I mean, I think it's... obviously not something's going to happen from one day to the other. Imagine it takes us 2 to 3 months to do a virtual event. Imagine how much it could take us to really do a in-person event the way we want it, you know?
Yeah.
So I think, I could definitely see us going on tour.
Things
happen. But the long-term is definitely, I think, an event in person. But I think more than that is all of us to hang out with our families, you know?
Yeah.
I think that's the biggest one. You know, obviously we love doing these flight events, but it's all because of our families, you know? So for all our families to get together and just enjoy. So, I think that'll probably be the first thing that happened before, an actual in-person flight event.
Dope.
Aichi.
I'm the type of person, I'm a big on loyalty, right? So once I choose individuals to be in my circle and I choose to devote my time and energy to dealing with a certain individual, that's for life. I mean, unless you just totally do something that just is out of the box,
right?
But it's for life. When I, you know, these guys are my brothers. That's how I view them. You know, well, Chris calls me Uncle Aichi, so
Bro, I'm not your brother. I'm your nephew.
But these guys are all family, first and foremost. So, you know, even if it's not a flag crew event, if either one of these guys calls me and say, "Hey, I need you here," I'm there. I'm going.
Dope.
But I really look forward to, you know, a flag crew weekend where we can get all of our families together, hang out, have a good time, relax, show our wives the appreciation that they deserve for even allowing us to be able to do this and being so supportive, and then an in-person flight crew event for
dope.
Sure.
Dope.
Yeah.
And Jay Will, what's your long-term vision for what you've created here?
Man, these last two questions were real eye-opening, T. The way you presented them, like, these, I'm learning stuff here. This is good for me to listen to this stuff. Man, I appreciate these guys. The long-term vision, I'm going to drop another, like, 15-minute message, and that's going to say what's going to happen. No, I'm just playing. Honestly, I don't know. I mean, first off, I have to thank all these guys because every one of them mentioned if I knew this person or I put my stamp of approval on this person, then they were going to rock with them. So that just shows the value that they place in me, and I really appreciate that because that means I'm doing something right, or that I'm trustworthy enough to put my stamp of approval on all these guys, that they will trust my decision into bringing these people together. So thank you guys for that. Long term, it's going to be more than just events. I mean, like these guys all have mentioned, this collective of creative minds has expanded into our personal businesses, our personal lives. We're all leveling up in our own brands, and it's almost become not only a friendship, but like this amazing network of genius minds. Shout out Flows, man. Flows is one person that will always say he has no idea what to do, and then we'll start talking about something and he'll come in with like five straight messages and be like, "All right, I'm done for the next 2 months, like that's all the creativity I got." But Flows, man, he has just grown exponentially in his thought process of how he wants to run his business, how he wants to grow his personal brand. And the Flow Zone, shout out Tig for his marketing genius. You still got to get him them royalties, Flows.
I need my check, Flows.
Needs a check. But no, yeah, I mean, outside of events, like they said, the families meeting is huge. And I think we're all friends for life. You know, it's funny, we posted a couple days ago a couple logo options for our anniversary, like branding, and encapsulated in that was a picture of the globe or the world and our logo, because we're really bringing so many people together and bringing so many cultures together. But we had all our logos around it, and I got so many messages personally, like, "Are you sure you want to put those logos on there? Like, what if somebody leaves?" And if somebody leaves, I mean, they already know the only way out's in a box, but I'm just saying. if somebody leaves this, like, for personal reasons, that's absolutely okay. We're still going to be the flight crew. We are joined together, us six guys, forever from here on out. So unless somebody just goes crazy, then we gotta get you out of it. No, I'm just playing. But no, long term, yeah, whatever in-person event happens, it will happen. The Six City Tour is something we've also talked about, so that will happen when we can do it safely. But virtually for the long term, I think, again, virtually is here to stay for a very long time. I've had a lot of conversations, not with just these guys, but just business professionals all over. I think virtual events are here to stay. And who knows, it might not be necessarily dance parties. We've talked about, you know, let's do a flight crew comedy show or something, you know, and get local creatives in that aspect. So who knows? We might become event hosts. Who knows? But ultimately, I think the biggest thing is, okay, everybody sees the events of the flight crew. What they don't see is what all these guys mentioned, the bond we're building and the way we push each other to be just better people and more positive in life and in business and all that. So ultimately, I have not worked or learned from a better group of individuals. And Tig, you are always an honorary member of the flight crew from start. I know I think we've told this story to a few people, but we have two IGs. Ours is the Flight Crew, and Tig has another brand that has Flight Crew in it. And we both get messages all the time, like, oh, somebody trying to copy you? Somebody trying to copy you? No, we know about this. Like, it's okay. So it was inevitable that we are going to come together.
Definitely.
Oh, man.
Absolutely. Well, listen, guys, this has been a really, number one, eye-opening conversation. And one that I think everybody will really enjoy seeing, you know, what really goes into an event that the Flight Crew puts on. It's more than just here's a Zoom ID and just jump on, but it's an actual, as DJ Aichi put it, it's an experience that you have to come to. So do yourself a favor, definitely check out the Flight Crew events. What's the date of the next one?
It's going to be May 16th. So it's a Sunday, and it's the exact day that I dropped that 10-minute message into WhatsApp. So it's the literal 1-year anniversary of when this all started, and it's gonna be a day party. We've never done a day party, so we're trying to curate different vibes for that.
What time does it start, Jay?
It's gonna be 4 to 9 Eastern. So keep that in mind, Eastern time. All of our events, we do get a lot of confusion sometimes. All of our events are Eastern Standard Time. So think about that in your own area, what time zone that is. So 4 to 9, day party, family style barbecue. We are encouraging people to, if the weather's nice, be outside in your backyard, eating, playing games, spending time with the family. The vibes that we're gonna create are gonna be family vibes. So all that music that just makes you feel good about one another and your family and spending time with each other. So that's what we want.
I got the steaks, ribs, and the shrimp kebabs on deck. I'm ready for it.
Yes. I'm ready for it. And one thing I just want to say before we end this is when everybody listens to this, first of all, please understand that the reason we did this is because we want people to see the realness from us. Like, we are real people doing real things because we really love it. Like, this is our passion. This is our desire. This is nothing that we have to do. This is stuff that we want to do. Not just for ourselves. This is an outlet for us to have fun and create. But it's an outlet for people to come and have a good time and get to know one another. And the reason for this specific interview is because we want people to know what really happens. There's a lot of misconceptions out there of what happens with even in-person events, but just planning in general, and we wanted people to know what really, really goes down.
Absolutely. Well, listen, fellas, thank you so much for allowing me to be here with you this afternoon and to have this behind the scenes. Appreciate you guys stepping through the strobe dots, and as we broadcast live from the Flight Crew hangar, I appreciate you.
That's right.
This is dope. So listen, for everybody that's here, my man Jay Will, DJ Aichi, Danny J, Mr. Energy, Chris Vargas, aka Pantera Cali, my man DJ Flows, and DJ Nate Acosta, I am your man Tig Best. You guys are rocking on Strobe Dots. We'll catch you on the next one. Peace.
Thank you, Tig.